It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man? Happy birthday, Hank Aaron.
Yeah, I thought you were going to bring that up in our very short Brewers talk that we were going to have later. But yes, wonderful to have happy birthday.
I just wanted to say it. I don't even know how old he is.
Well, yeah. But yeah, no, happy birthday to Hank Aaron, and we've had a number of things there, but we do have plenty of things to talk about here. But the first thing we want to say is to remind you that you can follow this podcast at Scotty Johnny Pod on Twitter. You can also follow me at Not So Humble Host, and you can follow Aaron somewhere on Twitter. Aaron, where is that place?
John, that would be at Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk. Last night I was going after Seattle Seahawks fans and Bears fans, and I didn't get a lot of pushback. I noticed a lot of trolling. That was not a lot of ice fishing, but no one taking the bait.
Go and check my Twitter. I just posted something. It's actually put up by a Bears fan. It's a they've superimposed Nagy behind President Trump as he's holding up a sign, but they've changed the sign to whatever it had been to showing like Bears Lions score and stuff. He's like, look, we were winning, by a huge amount. We lost a close one, and Nagy's just back there, like, not just an image, but there's like a video of Nagy just behind him, very well imposed too, just like he's standing there like chewing gum and looking around like he's just can't believe any of this. It's like, This is well done. Good job, Bears fans. The one thing you can do is troll your own team, I guess.
They are really good at that. Once they turn inward and they start imploding, they really self-implode. They're as bad as Eagles fans.
They'll eat their young.
Yes.
Like last week, we didn't have any Eagles fans. The one thing, the problem was, is that, of course, the Eagles are playing while we were recording last week. The only people willing to come and talk to us are from the Lions. Was it Pride of Detroit? And I'm not talking to any of them. They're the worst trolls the entire NFC North. Right. And I don't want any of them on here because it will just be a... We have words for that, but all of them are colorful in their language for the type of show it would become. So,
and there were a couple other people on Twitter too we could have reached out to, but they were more basketball. They always talk about Pistons and stuff, so it was like, whatever.
Yeah, everything. I mean, seriously, if the Lions didn't have to fight the referees every time, they'd have won 12 Super Bowls by now. It's the worst. They are the worst ref blamers in the history of history.
And let's not forget, there's probably as many Packer affiliate radio stations in the UP as there are Lion affiliate radio stations. So, because half of their state cheers for the Packers, the part that should be part of Wisconsin, because they don't,
the state of Superior,
right? Yeah, the state of Superior. Yes, we've talked about that. At one point, me and John were thinking about starting a government revolution and just taking everything north of Highway 29 along with the UP and making our own state, the state of Superior.
We'll do it, just a peaceful revolution of getting people on our side. Nothing crazy. Because creating a whole new state is not crazy, I think. I don't know. I've had worse ideas. So,
well, I mean, there's a Virginia and there's a West Virginia at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Wherever
that
you are listening
bad,
to us, though,
bad history, by the way.
It's weird. I don't want to get into the entire history of West Virginia, but it's Civil War related. I guess first off, thank you everybody who's joining us again this week. Our friends in Ukraine and Germany and the UK and France and Canada and Australia, and those are the big ones that come in the most frequently. There's other ones that we don't see as often, but...
Hello, Belarus.
Yeah, Belarus every now and then, but yeah. And everybody across the country, thank you for joining us again this week. And wherever it is that you do listen to us, and just, remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. And with that, we will kick off this entire show, the actual part of the show, the part you wanted to hear, with what we call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
Okay, so the main event is going to start off with Packers talk. And the first big thing to come out of the Packers game, of course, is, well, win. The win is the first big thing. But the next big thing is Aaron Rodgers gets touchdown 400.
Yes, he did.
And like how he was the first player to get to 300 touchdowns without getting to 100 interceptions, he's also managed to be the first to 400 touchdowns without getting to 100 interceptions. He even said he wants to get to 500 without 100 interceptions.
What's he? He's at 90 on the head, right?
I think he's somewhere in that area now. I think he started the season with like 86 or 87, so he's got to be right around there now.
So you figure he usually throws about 30 and four.
Ugh. Yeah, maybe. But this year, he's approaching, his numbers are somewhere like 49, 50. He's going to be in that range this year.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, because we do that, and I believe desperately in the superstition of sports, which is why I need everybody to go and just, if you can find my parents, stop telling them to text me, you know, dagger symbols in the fourth quarter or the end of the third quarter. It's way too soon. It's way too soon, and you are killing us. And they almost jinxed us this week.
What was Larry McCarron? Wayne Larrabee's thrown two bad daggers in his life, I think, where they ended up losing. But like the one where Rodgers had, what was it, five touchdown passes in the first half against the Bears? Yeah, he talks about that. Like he wanted to put the dagger down at the end of the first quarter because he already had three and it was 21-0, but he couldn't do it. And then when it was 28-0, he thought about doing it again when it was 35-3 or whatever. It was like he almost did it, and then he ended up throwing the dagger on just some weak defensive play in the third period. And he's like, or third quarter, he's like, God, I should have done it in the first period. He's like, we knew where it was going that way. That dagger, I got scared for a little bit there because, you know, I was stuck in the car driving. So I was listening to Larry McCarron, who's always a good judge of the mood of the game. He's one of the best. He really is. And we love him on this show, on this podcast. Oh, yeah. And Wayne's one of the best play-by-play. Larry is one of the best color, both top three. And Larry was starting to sound a little concerned after that punt return. He was, well, here we go. Oh boy. Fun. And it was a matter in which the punt return was done. Like it was done so easily.
It was weird.
It's part of the problem.
We'll get more into that later. I've got a couple, you know, main points I wanted to hit while we get through the game before, and then I'll give you a chance too, of course. But the big things here are that I found interesting about the 400th touchdown. The 400th touchdown was Devontae Adams on a really nice play, a nice catch, and way to get in. And then he got down on both knees and handed the ball to Aaron. It was pretty fantastic. Adams also caught the 200th touchdown pass for Aaron Rodgers, which I thought was fun. That was an interesting stat.
It is.
Did you see the James Jones tweet today? This was amazing. James Jones caught 100. He caught the 100th touchdown. He said, good job to Devontae for, you know, getting that ball, being aware of what was happening, and getting it to Aaron, because I caught 100 and I threw it in the stands. I'm sorry. I was like, that, I guess he didn't think about that moment. But, yeah, he was unaware of what it was. Yeah.
Do we know who caught 300? I'd be interested.
I was pretty sure it was Jordy. If I'm remembering correctly,
that would be very apropos if it was, because I mean those three are the, well, except for Jennings, the receiver he wasn't
anywhere there when they got to that 300 point. He wasn't around anymore.
He bailed out of town before that. But no, that would make sense if Jordy would. They threw up a stat yesterday that kills me every time I see it, and that is that, like, Devontae and Jordy are at about the same reception numbers and touchdown numbers, but Jordy's got Devontae by a good chunk of yards. Like, yards per catch, he's got him by a lot.
He had a lot more deep plays. He was a faster receiver. He was faster than Adams. Adams is a little better route runner, but Jordy definitely had more speed. He was more of a track guy. Right. So that's Yeah, I believe that entirely. But yeah, Adams.
Oh my God,
is so good at getting up
into the ball. Montgomery caught number 300. Of course.
Oh, okay. I was way off.
And, God, another receiver. I love it.
Running back.
Hey, by the way, I want to talk about that 400th catch though. Is that Devontae made that touchdown happen?
Yeah, both his touchdowns were great on his part.
Right, the first one he had to go up and get. Well, all three touchdown catches were pretty good.
Tanyan
didn't really have to try, but the fact that it was that open, you know, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But the 400th catch, that was a catch out in the flat, and he was one on one with Slay. Was it Slay?
Yeah, yeah. Slay was still in the game. I think he got hurt a little bit later, but he was still in there on that play. And
his ego definitely got bruised on that play because Devontae just worked him into the end zone. That was Devontae knew what it was. He knew it was the 400th touchdown catch, and he was going to get it for him.
He knew he needed. You could just tell just needed three. I think they were kind of waiting on it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's fantastic. He also becomes Aaron the first quarterback to have five seasons of 35 or more touchdown passes.
Wow!
So that's the fastest to 400 in terms of games played.
Right.
So there you go.
And Cowherd was talking about that the other day too. That everyone forgets that Rodgers really didn't start until he was 26.
Something like that. I forget where it was. Somewhere
he
in there.
He sat for the 3 years after playing four full years of college. Yeah. So.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah.
So he's got a late start on all these stats too.
That's true. And I guess the things I want to talk about as we get into the game itself, though, I guess I tried to go through on a couple things, and I was trying to write down three big things that I wanted to take from this game. Because obviously, Packers win. It got really close for a hot minute there. We may have seen the beginning of the Jalen Hurts era as we watch the Eagles going forward. We don't know. They can't really do much there because they're
going to have the most expensive backup quarterback in NFL history if that's the case, because they ain't releasing him.
They can't. I believe if they cut him, they have like $52 million in dead money.
It's somewhere between $50 and $60 million. Yeah, it's somewhere in there. I remember that.
It's a huge...
It is a
huge amount there. So, yeah. But the big things I want to talk about in this game is, first off, you brought it up earlier, the punt coverage issue that's now two punt return touchdowns in the one put Jacksonville ahead of us, and this one made it a close game again, made it a 7-point game suddenly. I wanted to talk about the fact that we didn't have Runyon in this game. It was Patrick at one guard, and then they put Wagner out at right tackle and kept Billy Turner in at the right tackle or right guard, pardon me. And then I kind of want to talk about ranking Tanyan, and that kind of came up actually. I think I forget which one. It is some Bears fans who are very unhappy that Packers fans think he's good, and then they overstated what we say. But the first thing is that the punt coverage thing is just killer, and people are going after J.K. Scott because he doesn't tackle or whatever. And you're like, man, you don't complain when quarterbacks can't block. You don't complain that pitchers can't hit. And here you are being mad that a punter doesn't tackle so well. There were 10 other guys in that field who had no business being anywhere on that field, it seemed like.
He's the only one that tried to make a tackle.
Yeah, everyone else got behind him very quickly, and that's the second one we've given up this year. That is ridiculously bad. You give up two punt returns for touchdowns, you fire that guy at the end of the year. I mean, there's nothing you're doing about it now, because who are you going to hire that's going to improve that special teams at this point in the year? I guess I don't know.
Where's Maybe Ron it's possible.
Ron Zook's friend, Billy. I don't know. But not Ron Zook, because all of his friends have to be smarter than him, I would think. He's the guy they keep around, so you're like, we're all still smarter than Ron, right?
Did Ron Zook give up two punt returns for a touchdown in a year?
You know, I don't think so.
Improvement.
I guess. It's terrible. It's really bad. That's a terrible thing, and that's a coaching thing. They're so far out of position and giving up gigantic lanes. It's terrible.
And it's not just punt either. It's just after they gave up the big punt, they gave up a huge kick return too after they scored the last touch after Jones's touchdown run. They ended up taking it out almost to midfield.
Yeah, that was right. But I felt better about our game, kick. But... Yeah, I felt better about our kick coverage than about our punt coverage. It's a little more hit and miss on the punt coverage. The kick coverage, sometimes we're holding them inside the 20, depending on how things go. But I don't know. I don't like this guy. Is it Menenga? Is just not getting it done. He's just not getting that done. I mean, this is his second year here, obviously. So he's just not holding his own here.
He's lucky Mike Zimmer isn't his coach, and he's got a nice guy Matt LaFleur as a coach, because Zimmer likes to go after a special teams coach on the sidelines.
Zimmer would have thrown him out of the bus. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that the kick coverage has been good, but I'm just saying, in a game where, you know, less than 5 minutes before you just gave up a punt return for a touchdown, your kickoff team goes out there and gives up, you know, the worst thing, the second worst thing short of returning it for a touchdown is a really good return that puts them within two passes of a field goal attempt.
I need a DVOA just for special teams. I want them to rank special teams and compare them across ways that way. I don't know how you do that, but I would love to see that. And I don't think I've seen anything from Football Outsiders that does anything like that. But yeah, it's bad. It's terrible. Happening once, maybe a fluke. Twice in a couple weeks, and that's just ridiculous. You cannot do that. And he has to be gone at the end of the year. And I hate calling for people's jobs, but he's not doing his job. His job is not being done properly.
You can call for the special teams coach. That's fine. That's not.
Yeah. I try to hesitate. I mean, these are people's lives, but, any other type of job where you had somebody who was doing this poorly at their job, you'd be like, how do they still have that job? They should go get a different job. And it's weird because special teams is one of those kind of odd spots. Like, nobody grows up wanting to be a special teams coach. Nobody goes on to they're not a grad assistant who's like, someday I'm going to teach people how to cover punts. You know, they want to be a defensive coordinator, or offensive coordinator. And
right.
Every one of those special teams guys.
People playing special teams, you know, it's like we always talk about William Henderson was a special teams all-star besides being a fullback. But when you look out on those teams, like sometimes after a touchdown scores after a tight end scores a touchdown, he's starting to run to the sideline celebrating. Then he remembers he has to turn around, go back out and be the outside blocker on the extra point because you only have X amount of people on the team that can go out there and play on special teams. So it's kind of a weird thing. And the special teams coordinator, it's one of those jobs. It's if you do an average job, just an average job, you will be okay, because as long as you don't give up the big hitter things. But it's like, that's what you said. Like, sometimes you can explain away a whole season for a D coordinator, O coordinator, a quarterback's coach based on injuries, this, that, and the next thing. Special teams is real simple. You just don't let them get big returns. Return the ball for a decent average, 6-7 yards on punts, get around the 25 every time on kick returns, and you might be a special teams coordinator forever. Heck, you might get promoted to defensive coordinator at some point. But yeah, it's when you're bad. It's the only coach on the team that when you're bad, it's unexplainable. Because it's special teams. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, it's like a pass fail grade as a special teams coordinator.
It does definitely feel that way, at least. So yeah. No, I just that part really bothered me. The next thing I want to say is like it seemed weird to me not putting in Runyon. The way that LaFleur was explaining it afterwards is they kind of went back and forth looking at it. They said they felt very good with a lot of guys, and they kind of went with the more veteran group that they had. I mean, it didn't hurt anything. The offensive line still looked pretty good with that combination that they put in there this week. I feel better with Runyon, but I don't know. That's me. I also want to see him get those reps, because I mean, he's going to be a starter for this team in a year or two. That's just the way it's going to be. And I would love to see him get that game day experience and keep getting better and used to this game. So I guess, Matt LaFleur knows what he's doing out there. I find it interesting, though.
Coaching regime to coaching regime, for some reason, whatever the Packers do with the offensive line, they do it well. So I'm not going to question it. Their development is unbelievable. We've rarely had a bad offensive line, and if it is, it's because of veterans retiring or injuries, like just too many injuries. Well, Wagner went down yesterday too. Maybe it's just a developmental thing with Runyon, and they're just, you know, they're just keeping him off the field for a little bit. But overall, I mean, the offensive line, whatever decision this they were making, that pass play to Tonyan, where Rodgers might have, he got his knee caught for like a second, where that one defensive line, they kind of got through and grabbed him. It wasn't even close to a sack. He easily danced on that. Rodgers stood back there for 9 seconds. Like, he was just standing there. All of a sudden, a D-lineman got towards him, and, oh, shoot, got to move, dance, and then just stood still. There was a couple times that he was just standing in the backfield like he was on a fairway. He had no grass on his uniform yesterday.
Yeah, they've done very well. I mean, I think it's the second – I think they got one sack early. Yeah. So it's been one sack over 2 weeks. It's been pretty good. And actually, that's probably the best thing the Eagles have on that defense is they do have the ability to pressure quarterbacks a little bit. It doesn't help because they're usually losing. And then, you know, they lose that ability to kind of just pin their ears back and do what they want, which is, of course, what we want to do with our defense as well. So Packers.
It's what the Jets want to do with their defense at the end of games, too.
Sorry. So good. The extra G is for genius in Greg Williams.
Yes.
I believe he said that.
Maybe there was a bet on Las Vegas, their quarterback.
Oh, Carr.
Maybe there was a bet on a bounty on Carr's head, whoever gets Carr.
Yeah, they didn't actually even call a blitz, just everybody wanted the money.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, I guess.
There's history there. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's not that big of a reach.
Yeah. One other thing I want to talk about, like, Tonyan continues to produce. He gets another touchdown in this game. I think he's towards the top of the league in terms of touchdowns for tight ends. He's up there in terms of yards and catches, too. If you're looking at the league right now in terms of the tight ends that are out there, and this was brought up because somebody on one of the Bears fans said, like, oh, Packers fans truly think that they've got the best receiver, best running back, and best tight end, and they don't realize that Rodgers covers up. And I was like, nobody in Green Bay thinks Tonyan's the best tight end in football.
No, that's either Kelsey or Kittle when he's healthy. So,
and Waller's right there with
them. Yeah, Waller put up 200 yards as a tight end yesterday.
That dude, yeah. He is amazing. And so he's those good. Are the three, yeah. I would say, like, he's nowhere near any of those three. Like, he works with Kittle and knows Kittle, but he's not that. He's a very good blocker. He's a great blocker. And he's a guy who gets open on an offense that's designed to star tight end. Like, the tight end is a key point of this style of offense that they do. I don't know that
Hawkinson and Fant are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, like, so it's, yeah, Hawkinson is very good. Fant is also very good in Denver. I'm trying to think of other people who have guys who, I mean, obviously Jimmy Graham. I'm just joking. Yeah. I think Cole Kmet will be good, but, you know, he's a rookie. So he'll be interesting to look at going forward.
Ebron's had a nice year. I can't take him seriously because of his last name. It's K followed by a consonant. Kmet?
Kmet.
It's like, yeah. Kmart.
So, I mean, like, I think he's like a top five type of guy. Just he's not top three.
Tenyon's got some development still coming, too, because, I mean, the guy was an undrafted. I mean, he's still raw.
He's a sycamore.
He really is. We were talking about this kid 2 years ago when he was on, this is his third year, right? Third year?
I believe so, yeah.
But 2 years ago when he was a rookie, I remember me and you, we were in the Big Bob fan club back when he was Bob Tonyan still, before he legally changed his name to Tonyan. And he was flashing back then. But the thing is, he was out of Indiana State and he was this undrafted rookie and he had the right size and, you know.
They kept finding a way to be on the field.
And he's kind of growing into the position. And he's got, you know, not that Mercedes Lewis is exactly a receiving, although he looked pretty like a receiving tight end yesterday on one play. Watching him catch the ball recently has been fun. But he's learning from Mercedes Lewis. He's got a good guy to learn from. Like, and, I mean, he's going to keep growing. He still has a ceiling. And tight ends, when they come into the league, everybody talks about that. There's no good rookie tight ends.
No,
not even good sophomore tight ends. Not till they're like in their third or fourth year that they're any good. And so Tenyon's starting to come into his own now that he's got his last name right. He will continue to improve as a tight end. I think we're just starting to see it. Like, and he's probably a year behind. Like, if a really good tight end who comes into the league, who has high aspirations, high expectations, starts blooming around year three, I mean, he's a year behind those guys because of where he was. So he's not up there right now. He's probably not even top five tight ends. He's a nice tight end. He's a good tight end. He's a B minus tight end.
Yeah.
But with upside.
And I think his stats might get him into a Pro Bowl this year, mostly because Kittle's not there and he's just got good numbers. I don't think in terms of pure ability right now, or pure, you know, just pure talent at this moment, what he's got.
Him and Sternberg have a lot in common, and along with Josiah DeGura, who, I mean, is kind of more of a fullback than a tight end, but and they've got a great veteran presence in that tight end room, teaching them what to do. And it's a weird year to not even have, you know, they're not really even around each other that much, but they've got Mercedes Lewis, who is a perennial, just not all pro, but just a perennial great tight end. Like, this guy's been around forever. Knows everything. He was a first round draft pick. He's been one of the best blocking tight ends forever in this league.
Yeah.
He'll still be employed for another 3-4 years by somebody because he's just good.
He can keep playing for a while. He's got that type. He's got the body. He's big enough. He can continue to block as well as he does, and be able to make something out of that. So he definitely has the ability to keep playing that way and still be productive for a number of years. The one last thing I want to say about the Packers before we kind of preview and going into next week is, you know, a shout out, like, MVS did not have a good game catching, but I think it's good to point out he's been pretty decent the last couple weeks, I'd say. He's shown some growth. He's been better at understanding zone. He's caught the ball much better recently. He had definitely a bad game in terms of receiving this year. But Matt LaFleur was quick to point out, like, how he quickly got all the way back to that 77-yard run. I mean, of course, Bakhtiari did too, which is amazing. But
Bakhtiari was in the end zone before Jones was.
Yeah, but MVS never gave up on that play, made sure he got there and kept that play going. You don't know that it continues without getting his body in the way there and creating that kind of, just enough of that kind of static in the system there to allow him to keep moving.
He was doing the Bobby Boucher from The Waterboy when he was going down the sideline, just like taking people out down the sideline, just creating a lane for the running back. That was very good. You're correct.
He has great hustle and he loves the game and he's definitely continuing to work hard. So at least that's something there.
Lazard had a very nice quiet game too, by the way.
He did. He was the flex on my fantasy team this week. So I was very happy for that. I wish he caught a touchdown, but yeah.
A lot of downfield blocking with him too.
He's like, very good at that.
Yeah. Our receivers are good at downfield blocking too. So
yeah.
And that run by Aaron Jones was stupid.
It was crazy good. Yeah.
That was really good. All my hopes of the Packers getting a hometown discount to keep him around just went out the window with that run.
And I think what we had here on our predictions from this last week, I think I put a 42-17, mm-hmm. and you had said 32-22.
It's pretty spot on as usual from this side of the microphone.
You're killing it this year. I don't know why I should make you go first and then just be three off of you or something. All right. Looking ahead to next week, the Lions had their big day this last week. They had a large win over what is a very bad Bears team.
Coming back on a really bad Bears team that is swirling down the toilet.
The Bears were up by 10 and lost by 4. And you couldn't have believed it unless you watched it. And I didn't watch the last of it because the Packer game came on. And it just got ridiculous. I mean, just what?
Here's, the numbers are ridiculous.
They are ridiculous. The Lions, right now, they are the 30th ranked DVOA defense. This is a bad defense. The Lions are terrible at defense right now. They've been a pretty decent defensive team for a while. They hired a defensive coordinator from the number one scoring defense in the NFL without remembering that Bill Belichick is the reason they're good at defense and Matt Patricia was not. He's just a guy who couldn't remember where he left his pencil.
So he put it behind his ear. Just much like how the Bears hired Matt Nagy because he was an offensive coordinator behind.
He was at KC.
Yes.
So he was there with Reed. The Lions' offense isn't that particularly stellar either. They're 24th in offense, and that's DVOA again. So this is taking into account who you've played, and you know where you've played, and all these other things. The Lions' offense is behind New England, and just above the Giants, at 24. Packers are at 5th right now, behind New Orleans, Pittsburgh, who wet the bed today. Tampa Bay, Kansas City, and then Green Bay. But then you're looking at defense.
What happened? Did Pittsburgh lose?
Pittsburgh lost to Washington, the football team.
That's right. That happened today.
It happened today. Today for us. Yesterday for many of you. Green Bay's got the 18th
11-0 team ever. But then again, they played on a Wednesday and then a Monday. But anyhow, okay.
Packers have the 18th ranked DVOA defense. Packers are better in offense and defense. I expect them to get out to a lead in this game. It's the type of game where you would expect them to just put up some points early, get ahead of them, and just kind of stay ahead of them and just kind of put the foot down on them and just keep driving. The Lions' leading rusher is Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he is. Zombie Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And the other thing, they'll be playing indoors. There's no weather or anything like that. And Rodgers has been killing it indoors. Adrian Peterson has 501 yards rushing. He averages 3.7, and he's got 6 touchdowns.
Good for him. Whatever.
Do you want to see him pass Barry Sanders wearing a Lions jersey? That'd be like the worst deal ever, right? He's coming up on him.
We wouldn't hate Adrian Peterson so much if he didn't play for the Vikings. So
I don't hate him. I want to be clear. I hate Adrian Peterson.
I hate things he's done.
That's true.
Yes. But as far as a player goes, like I think we'd think much more fondly of that. No, I wouldn't want him to pass Barry Sanders in a Lions uniform. But at the same time,
how do they feel
for a guy that's? I just want to see him keep going. Like the crazy part is like with every other option that team has or could have gotten, they've drafted a new rookie running back. You know, here's old man Peterson still carrying the rock and, you know, defying, you know, at some point with running backs, you just have to start cheering for him. Like right now I'm the world's biggest Frank Gore fan. You know, because it's like, just keep going, man. You know, just because most running backs don't make it past age 25. Steven Alexander, you know, rushes for 1,800 yards and 24 touchdowns. I think that's what it was.
Sean Alexander.
And then you're Sean Alexander. Who did it?
Sean Alexander.
And 2 years later, he's out of the league, basically. You know, it's like.
Yeah, he got paid and he was kind of done. Yeah, Frank Gore, I love this. Last year, there was a tweet somebody put out that said, taking my son to watch a game, he sees Frank Gore score a touchdown and thinking someday my son will be with his own son watching Frank Gore scoring touchdowns.
Frank Gore still looks the same. There was a picture of him after his draft and him now, and he still looks the same.
Yeah, he just was born looking 50, so he'll be fine.
He's an animal. I love him. Anyways, but yeah, so Adrian Peterson, backtrack what we were talking about.
Oh, he's got 501 yards, and he's the best they've got because, I mean, like behind him, they've still got Kerryon Johnson. Which Kerryon is not a great name for a person. Sounds like a dead body, but like what vultures are looking for is Kerryon.
Also, if you're a running back, it's a very apropos name for a running back, Kerryon.
Yeah. Yes. And then DeAndre Swift, who most famously dropped a touchdown against the Bears in week one, which is the only reason they didn't sweep the Bears this year, I guess. Marvin Jones is their leading receiver.
The Lions would be 6-6 if they did that. Well, you know, butterfly effect, would they really be? But yeah, they'd be 500. They'd be right there with the Vikings for the number 7 playoff spot.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah. Marvin Jones is leading this team. He's got 51 catches for 619 yards. I mean, like, he's 400 yards behind Adams, 410 yards exactly. Just up and down this entire thing. The Packers are more talented. With the way that this is going right now, our receiving core looks better and stronger than what they've got in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we'll be playing indoors. We'll get a chance to get a lead here and then just kind of push on there. It doesn't look like the injury. I mean, injury report, of course, is dependent on a lot of different things. But other than the players on IR, there's nothing big.
Wagner got a little beat up. There was a couple injuries at the ticky-tacky injuries at the end of the game, which made yesterday that made you kind of wonder if they just got pulled so they didn't get hurt any further. And that not only the Packers receiver core looking good, that Matt LaFleur offense is starting to look like that San Francisco offense that it's supposed to emulate, where there's people just running wide open down the field at times. Like with all the motion and crossing patterns and stuff like that. And, Reed's offense and KC is starting to look like it's supposed to. Like Rob Tonyan standing 20 yards wide open in the end zone, like just Mercedes Lewis getting loose for 35 yards. And it took him 20 minutes to run that 35 yards, but he got it. How wide open does Mercedes Lewis have to be to have a 35 yard reception? It's crazy how the offense is doing that, and it's looking good. And my only fear about the Lions is that the Lions in the last couple of years have played the Packers well. I mean, a couple of years ago they swept us. That was embarrassing. Adrian Peterson, I still have nightmares of him because he does, we talked about that when he was in Washington too. Like, well, he's having, a down year, but he'll rush for 200 yards and three touchdowns against the Packers just because, because that's the stuff he does. And there's just weird things. It's a division game, just like losing to the Vikings a couple weeks back at Lambeau Field. But it seems as though some of Rodgers' best games this year were indoors. At Minnesota, at the Saints, and at Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Rodgers is not the reason why we lost at Indianapolis. That was a massive failure by the defense and just getting boat raced.
This is an injured type of team too. Like they're missing, Desmond Trufant, they're missing Trey Flowers, and of course Halapulivati Vaitai. Is on injured reserve as well. I just wanted to say that name.
Well done.
I just wanted to say that name. But yeah, Galladay's been hurt too. If Galladay doesn't play it, then it's just really just going to be something that I don't know what they're going to do.
Except for one drive when Jalen Hurts, who came in off the bench and caught them off guard because he's a quick, fast moving running back, the defensive backfield looked great this week. And they're getting better. Savage, 3 picks in 2 weeks. And yesterday's pick was pretty awesome.
It was amazing. It was an incredible play.
He's coming into his own. Amos is the safety that doesn't make the big plays, that makes sure everyone's in place and is always in the right spot. You need that playmaker in the back there. And Savage is starting to be the guy he's supposed to be. And, Jair Alexander's looking good. It's, I don't. Unless some weird division stuff works, I don't think it's going to be close.
I'm thinking 35-17, somewhere in that range. How about you, Aaron? I should have let you go first.
You just said 5 minutes ago you were going to let me go first.
No, I said I should, but I didn't because it's still my show. So
35-17. Detroit has something to play for. Ooh. It's not going to be as close, but I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as you think. Let's do 29-11.
Excellent. Wonderful as always. I love your numbers. All right.
Basically, I'm predicting an 18-point spread. That's bad.
All right. We'll move along into Badgers talk here. We're going to get you just going over what was a terribly played game offensively for the Wisconsin Badger football team. Biggest things to point out here. What makes you say that?
That they only scored two goals.
No, well, yeah. Mertz is a freshman in his first year, and obviously he still has a bunch to learn yet. He has to start figuring this out. This was a good game for him to learn from because IU spends a lot of time disguising what it does, and he was not ready for that. and did not look as confident. He has not been as good since week one. Week one, he was lights out and incredible. He had he got sick, and then we missed games, and then he played again and looked okay against Michigan, but not lights out. And he did not look particularly good in the loss against Northwestern. He looked worse today. So I think that's the thing that's going to be remembered here is, like, he still has a lot of learning to do. He's handing the ball off to Jalen Berger, who's a true freshman. He is throwing the ball due to a lot of injuries because Pryor's been nursing injuries. Danny Davis has been out with injuries. He didn't play this week. Shamiri DK is the guy who's kind of had to step up. He's a true freshman. And then we've got Tanner Bartolini, who had to step in at center, true freshman center. And on the very last play of the game where the Badgers had a chance to come in, it's 14-6. It's fourth down. They throw the ball into the end zone. DK beats his guy, just beats him off the line and is running into the end zone. Ball is delivered a little late, but it's delivered late because it's a low snap from center. And that makes it just, it slowed everything up. That still said, the IU cornerback helped himself out by just grabbing a hold of DK's left arm and just not letting him run any further away or, get two hands to a football. But, you don't get to complain about that when you play that badly. You just don't get to complain about the refs because you got outplayed. IU outplayed Wisconsin and definitely deserved to win that game. And Tom Allen is moving up the list of most punchable faces because he's an obnoxious troll. And I get that his players love him because he goes out there and he's like yelling for him. He got them a free 15 yards because he did that. It's the same thing Fitzgerald does all the time, which is find a play early on where there was no penalty, but scream at a referee like there was and scream like crazy and make sure everybody sees it and have your headset fly off and, make a big show of it. So the cameras have to watch you. And then the next time you start trying to yell at them, they will definitely give you a call. Because Tom Allen did that. He got a penalty called, free 15 yards for roughing the passer on a play that the guy got hit as he was throwing and was hit in the side. There was nothing illegal about that play. It was crazy. They did throw a flag for targeting later too, which, after they had to actually sit and watch it in a review, was so clearly not targeting that they picked up the flag, thankfully. I believe it was Sanborn got the hit. It was a shoulder. The quarterback was actually running, left the pocket, was downfield, beyond the line of scrimmage. He's going to the ground because he's getting tackled from behind. Sanborn just kind of drops and just puts a shoulder out to kind of stop him from rolling forward. And he's not even moving. It was terrible. And it didn't hit him in the head. It hit him in the chest. And because the coach, Allen is out there freaking out again, refs go out and throw a flag because they were told to, basically. If you are that gutless that referees are going to throw flags because they're just scared of him yelling at them, get out of the sport. Just get out. Big Ten refs, and it's not just Wisconsin. Purdue got screwed out of a game on something similar to this. And, Wisconsin gets hurt because Paul Christ is such a calming presence for his team, which is great when you face adversity, but he doesn't get to work the refs in the way that guys like PJ Fleck or Tom Allen or Fitzgerald get to because they're obnoxious and it works in their favor because the referees are so bad. They give in immediately. The worry I have going forward on this team is wide receiver depth. We talked about DK is there. I guess I haven't looked back at some of the guys they've been recruiting for next year, but man, you really hope in some of these young freshmen who have not been getting a lot of playing time come in and do something this offseason. And, maybe they'll get a real offseason this year. We did not have spring ball. We did not have a lot of things that we'd normally have.
Nope. Didn't have a real season.
Andy Schaff.
Better stop.
Yeah, Andy Schaff pointed out a very good point. Indiana has played every week. They've had the opportunity to play games and grow and learn and get in a rhythm.
Yep.
The Packers have been in this stunted thing where they've missed three games and they're only going to play five. And you're like, that definitely throws off your rhythm, especially for a team that has a lot of freshmen in very key positions on dealing with injuries to senior wide receivers. So yeah, chalk this up as 2020 is just going to be a weird year. Just mentally, it doesn't count for this Badgers
team. I'm over. I'm over for Big Ten football, anyways. It's garbage. Like, it's not even worth. I don't want to even put that much into it. So, I mean, are we even going to have national championships now? Because all the SEC teams are getting shut down left and right. You know, it's.
No, they'll still find ways to play it. There's enough money; they'll do it. They definitely will.
I was going to say I did feel bad for the Penix kid from Indiana. Like
couldn't play.
Everything aside, him going down to an ACL injury, that's
rough.
With a story that is Indiana and the fact that he's kind of been, you know, out of nowhere, you know, you like seeing those stories, especially if they're Big Ten, like just Big Ten in general, like you like seeing good stories, except for coming out of Ohio State or Nebraska or Wisconsin or Michigan State or Michigan. But the other schools, you know, like Indiana and Purdue and Illinois that don't have, you know, a lot of good stories or anything like that. Yeah, it's too bad to see that kid get hurt because he was having a good year.
I watched two
Indiana games this year, and I was very impressed with them. So
that's a very good team. They played very well this year, and it's a very good team.
But they have a chassis head coach.
Yeah, he's obnoxious. Yeah, whatever. But, I mean, like, that doesn't mean he can't coach. It just means he's an obnoxious punk. Rashad Wild Goose announced that he is going to be leaving going to be entering the draft this year. He announced it because he had a season-ending injury. He was not going to play again this year. That came out after he'd announced it, but so he's not going to come back. That's a tough loss for this team as well. Right. That's about all we've got for here. Badgers will play Iowa in what will be a massively interesting game. Iowa does not throw the ball well. They try to run. Badgers defense should be able to knock them down quite a bit and keep them in play. But man, it's going to be interesting because the Badgers offense just is not scoring points. If Danny Davis is back, I'd say we are definitely the favorite in that game. But man, if he's not, I don't know what's going to happen. This could be a 0-0 tie for like five overtimes. I don't know. It could be a weird game.
No, you don't know. And that's why I said it's not even worth trying to predict Big Ten football at this point, especially with teams like Wisconsin that
too many freshmen
haven't gotten the chance to get any kind of groove going whatsoever. You know, they came out the first game and were rolling, and it was awesome. And then they had to shut it down. And then they had to come back. And just throw the season away. On a positive note, I will say two things. There will be fans watching the Iowa game because the little kids at the Children's Hospital will be able to watch the game from across from Kinnick Stadium, which is one of the coolest things on earth.
Yeah.
In case anybody didn't know that, before every Iowa game, all the fans in the stands, which there won't be any this time, but they all turn towards the Children's Hospital across the street and wave to the kids in the hospital, which
awesome.
Is that makes you cry every time you see it. And then
it's last the only night, thing better than jump around. It just is.
Yeah. And then last night watching the Denver take it to Kansas City and almost get that thing in there. Too bad Drew Lock is not a good quarterback. Oh. Otherwise, that would have been a lot closer. But watching Melvin Gordon and Troy Fumagalli on the field at the same time. Yes.
Yeah, it seemed like every Badger in the NFL scored. Dare Ogunbowale almost had a touchdown. It was quite a week. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor scored. Yeah, a bunch of touchdowns. Moving into the other couple things with the bigger teams, the pro teams around Wisconsin, the Bucks. We have some of their schedule now. They'll get a Christmas game against Golden State, and in a weird kind of way with how the season starts is that'll be just a couple days after their opener. They'll open with the Celtics, and then they'll get Golden State on Christmas Day. I saw a thing where they just talk about, like, just get ready because, you know, Draymond's about to kick you right in the manhood. Just start preparing for that. That's coming. And, it's going to be less of a game than the idea that, I mean, Klay Thompson had a massive injury and is just gone, which is too bad. That's a really good team, and you'd like to see them, you know, that'd be an interesting game, but.
Well, especially after last year with everyone getting injured on that team and Durant leaving and the tank job, you know, and, like, you were hoping that, you know, Golden State would come back, but, you know, and whatever. They had their moment in the sun, whatever. It's back to Laker time now anyways. But, however,
They're still waiting on the Supermax.
I'm starting to get back into the NBA now. Owens was mad at me, or Owen was mad at me because a couple weeks ago about not being up. I couldn't get into the bubble thing. I just couldn't, especially after the Bucks were gone. But now I'm finally getting back into it, and I'm watching this, and it's just like it's going to be Lakerville 5000 again now for the next couple of years. And after our conversation last week with if you're not on the coast, it doesn't matter, and nobody even cares about Chicago anymore. Anyhow, so back to that. So what you were saying, though, this the Christmas Day game, it lost a little bit of luster because of Klay Thompson. But, I think it's a good – I'm happy to see, playing Golden State Thompson gone or not, it'll be good. People will tune in for Golden State as well. What game? Yeah. They're the number three game, right? 3 out of 5.
I didn't look at the other games. I know where they are in their schedule. I didn't see what time that one is.
They're not the early game, which that's good because that's 11 o'clock in the morning and nobody watches that game because they're still opening presents. But yeah. I want to say I think they're the middle game. Dang, I should have looked it up. But anyways, no, that's good because that's going to get you looking, and that'll actually be a good barometer for where the season's going to go. Because with everything else aside, how can you play against Golden State? And I'm happy that's the game that they got on Christmas. That's awesome.
Yeah. So Giannis just had his birthday too, and as a gift for his birthday, his teammates gave him pens. So he could sign his Supermax and get this over with and move on. Just get it done. The other Milwaukee team,
Do you think he'll sign it, John? What do you think?
I think he signs it because I just think he enjoys it. And I think they made a lot of moves again this year to try to make sure he had people around him. And I think he signs it because I think he really enjoys where he lives. And I think he really enjoys the people around him. And this organization built a brand new stadium, around him and everything around him, and they've been moving the team to do, around to do things just to get him happy. Even though they did it in stupid ways that actually cost them money in the luxury tax, because they could have done it better and smarter, but they didn't. They just did it because they were like, quickly do these things to make sure he's happy. I think he signs it.
I don't think he does.
We'll see.
I'm going to be negative Nancy on that one. I think there's something else going on. I don't know.
The couple things from the Brewers, obviously people probably seen by now, but Corey Knebel has been sent to the Dodgers for either cash or a player to be named later. The Brewers have non-tendered Claudio and Gamel and Peterson. So Jace Peterson is already, all of them have been non-tendered. And so that's where they stand now. All right. With that, we've wrapped up everything that goes into our main section, the big section of everything here, and everything else we put into a lesser section, but also an equally important in many ways section that we lovingly call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Aaron, so for the last call, a couple things here. UW basketball obviously they had a game this week. They played Marquette. As if you've seen on my Twitter, it is a game that is a massive rivalry for one of the schools. This is the biggest game that happens in Milwaukee County, and the rest of the state is just, would like to see them beat Marquette. But I mean, it's not really a rivalry in the fact that everyone else in the rest of the state roots for Marquette the rest of the year. So it's not really a hateful type of rivalry. Only Marquette people really care about it as much as they do. I'm not saying that Badgers fans aren't angry about losing, because they should never have lost that game. That was a terrible, sloppy game. Tons of turnovers, terrible passing. Shooting was off all day. Every time they were down by three, all they did was shoot threes. And it's almost like you should have just go to two. You have a 7-footer who shot three straight 3-pointers. I mean, he was one of three on that, but it's like you are 7 feet tall. Nate Reavers, get in the paint and just own it. Like, you were the tallest man on the floor.
John, that worked for a couple of years and almost won us the national championship with Frank the Tank and Sam Decker.
But they played inside, too. Both those guys posted up all game.
Kidding.
So they should have played way better. They were going to get a test against Louisville coming up here, but that game has been postponed.
For what, John?
Weather? I think...
Conditions?
Mumps. measles, something. I don't know.
Mumps, measles?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something in the news that's missing right now.
Polar vortex. I think that's what I'm saying.
Oh, polar vortex. No. Yes, that's the worst one.
They have added Rhode Island, the Rhode Island Rams.
I didn't know that they were the Rams.
Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom, probably the most famous Ram that I can, at least the most famous one I can think of, because I remember him coming out of college. They added Lamar that game. Odom? Lamar Odom, yeah.
I thought Lamar Odom came out of Ohio State.
Nope, Rhode Island.
I was thinking Greg Oden.
Yes. Next game coming up for Wisconsin, though, will be UNI, Northern Iowa, which is a very nice mid-major team, not ranked this year, but they've been a very good team, a tough out. They've been in the tournament several years. They're usually a pretty decent team. I haven't looked at how many seniors they have at this point, but Badgers should get that one, too, hopefully being sufficiently embarrassed by what happened to them when they got up to number four. We'll see how they come out this week. In men's hockey, Wisconsin men, they played at Columbus, at Ohio State, and they lost the first game 2-4, came back and won the second one 3-1. They gave up four goals in the first period in that game. Badoon got pulled. He's the transfer senior. Yeah, and they put in the freshman Rowe. And Rowe, I believe, actually played the second game too, and he's looked pretty good in those games. Brock Caulfield and Cole Caulfield both doing very well. Linus Weisbach also doing very well. Cole Caulfield started off a little slowly, but he has been putting on the goals and picking up the points pretty quickly in the last several games. Badgers now ranked 12th. They're ranked 12th in men's hockey. The women remain ranked number one. The women did not play this week. They remain 1-1 after that split with Ohio State that we talked about last week. But their game against Michigan State, the doubleheader, that's been postponed. Men's hockey coming up against Michigan State has been postponed. The women are postponed for both their games.
Is that bit going to get old real quick?
Yes, I think we're done with it. I'm sorry. Okay. So to be clear, men's hockey was going to play at Michigan State. That has been postponed. Women's hockey was going to be playing UMD and Ohio State again. Both those are postponed. So women's hockey will not play again until 2021. Men's hockey, I guess we'll see. That's kind of what I've got in terms of anything else here on the last call. Aaron, did you have anything else you wanted to add before we start wrapping this up?
I just thought of something. So you said UMD, and I was in the Club of Sam the other day, picking up massive amounts of coffee and other things that you can buy at that place.
Okay.
And an older couple was walking around, and they're like, "Well, I'd like to find a sales associate so I can find out where all the microwave popcorn's at." And I was like, and I stopped, and I was like, "Wait, what are you guys looking for?" And they're like, "Microwave popcorn." And of course, because I know the Club of Sam inside and out, I said, it's actually just right over there. And the guy turned around and he looked at me, and he was wearing a UMD hat. And I was like, "Oh, are you from UMD? Or are you from Duluth?" And he's like, no, our daughter went to school and played hockey up there." And I didn't ask who she was. And I was like, "Oh, well, we just moved down from Duluth." And he's like, "Oh," and he's like, "Yeah, I love Duluth. Duluth's awesome. We're so happy she went up there." It's just a total Midwestern thing. I just thought of that. Yeah. It was great. And
it's a UMD fun time.
UMD hockey fans are the best, by the way. And they have an awesome arena up there. Amsoil Arena. It's at one point there was all the stadiums, college and pro, ranked all together. Number one in the country was Amsoil Arena.
Okay.
Ahead of places like Wrigley Field and Lambeau Field and all these other places. It was kind of tongue in cheek, but it was Amsoil Arena up in Duluth is it's made for hockey. Like only Duluth would make an arena for hockey. And it's unreal. Hank Aaron is 86.
Uh-huh.
86 years old.
Okay.
What?
All right. Yeah.
No, because we started off with saying happy birthday to Hank Aaron. I said I didn't know how old he was, and so I paid off the plug. He's 86 years old.
All right.
Six children. Yep.
Six children. Good man. All right.
That was it. I just wanted to get the facts out there.
Good. Fantastic.
Do you have anything else? Do you have anything else to say about Hank Aaron?
No, I'm looking at his thing here, his children. Yeah. He's from Mobile. All right. But that's all that we've got for this week. Come back and join us next week. We'll try to see if we can find somebody to start talking about, you know, some of these other teams coming up for us here and get ready for the rest of it.
I'm going to look past the Lions. Hopefully our squad doesn't, but who's past? Yeah, let's look past the Lions.
Yeah. Fantastic. Again, remember to, follow us at Scotty Johnny Pod, at Not So Humble Host, and at Cheddar Talk. And please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us wherever it is that you do download your podcast. And remember, whether you're on the town or on the go or safe at home on the couch, that it is always on Wisconsin.
Bears still suck.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.